be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. We will all go together when we go, all suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
And as we know, Tom Lear's words could not be more appropriate for the present time, when Russia is threatening that if there's U.S. or NATO meddling in the events in Ukraine, that they may have to fire their new Zircon missiles at the United States, where they've identified 5 targets at the Pentagon, Camp David, Jim Creek Naval Radio Station in Washington, Fort Ritchie in Maryland, McClellan Air Force Base in California, where Sputnik observed the latter two have been closed for about 2 decades, but in my opinion, they're telegraphing they know they've gone underground. Russia wouldn't signal that if it were not the case that those are viable parts of the American Command and Control Center. So we have been put on notice. Will the completely incompetent Biden administration respond in an appropriate fashion, or will they go pell-mell full forward with nonsense in defense of Ukraine, where the United States has been meddling massively since Victoria Nuland used $5 billion of American taxpayer dollars in order to initiate a revolution in Ukraine that drove out the democratically elected president and installed a Western puppet? We know historically Ukraine has played a very important role in relation to Russia when it was part of the Soviet Union. There wasn't a serious issue here. But Nikita Khrushchev, who was himself an ethnic Ukrainian, declared Ukrainian independence. It did not matter until the dissolution of the Soviet Union in 1991. Zbigniew Brzezinski, in his geopolitical book, The Grand Chessboard, suggested if Ukraine could be pried away from Russia, then since it had served as the breadbasket to Russia, it would greatly weaken the bear. And those who are anti-Russian or eager to precipitate a war between Russia and the United States are seeking to exploit the situation for their own benefit. I am convinced that U.S. foreign policy is being dictated by Bibi Netanyahu, Joe Biden's completely incompetent, Barack Obama, traitor to the nation. There are so many gross aspects of the Biden administration and the Obama administration, where Obama acknowledged years ago that would he want to have a third term? No, he said, but he wouldn't mind pulling the strings behind if there were a puppet in place, and that's exactly what we have now. Meanwhile, the New York Times has revealed that Capitol Police were told to stand down during the January 6th riot at the Capitol. According to a 104-page document obtained by investigators, the police were told not to use their most aggressive tactics, but actually to welcome them, the intruders, into the Capitol. Remember when they let the protesters in. This was a report prepared by the Inspector General, Michael A. Bolton, criticizing the way the Capitol Police prepared for and responded to the mob violence, where they were directed to refrain from using their most powerful crowd control tools like stun grenades within their civil disturbance unit. When the question arises, who is responsible? It's all too obvious, of course. A couple of months ago, the mainstream media thought the idea of the Capitol Police let protesters into the Capitol building was a conspiracy theory, but now they're reporting it as truth. 3 months too late. By the way, let me say, I'm very pleased that a new study of mine entitled What's Wrong with Conspiracy Theories has been published at UNZ Review. It's starting to draw a good number of comments. We have about two dozen so far. And because I use JFK 9/11 as examples where the evidence proves that not only are conspiracy theories not untestable, but conspiracy theories are even falsifiable, meaning the theories that are being attacked, such as the Official Warren Commission report or the 9/11 Commission report, are relatively easily demonstrated to be hopelessly inadequate. And where this is a very nice comprehensive overview, I originally had directed it toward professional philosophers because we offer the courses in logic, critical thinking, and scientific reasoning that can make such a difference to public understanding of these events, where I have, by my ongoing efforts, been attempting to expand my classroom to all of the United States, eventually to the world, because we must be capable of seeing through these matters. Where it was fascinating when I interviewed James Files recently, who may or may not have been behind the picket fence on the grassy knoll, where Files claims to have fired a shot that hit JFK in the head. There turned out to have been more than one, by the way, that Jack was actually hit three times in the head, once in the back of the head where he slumped forward. Then Jackie eased him back up and was looking right in the face when he was hit, and now it appears near simultaneous in the right temple by a shot fired by the intersection of the trip fence and the underpass by, it appears, Frank Sturgis, who was firing on behalf of the CIA, but also hit more or less on the side of the head that left a distribution of metallic particles, where Files claims to have fired a mercury-loaded bullet that would have left such a trail of particles. And where, during one of our conversations, where he and his wife even came up here to Madison and we had lunch together, this was a month or so ago, and now I've done a more recent interview with him, which you can find on my BitChute channel. Remember, BitChute channel, Jim_Fetzer. Will get you to the BitChute channel where you'll find hundreds of videos, including, you know, my daily reports on Need to Know, where every day I'm giving updates on the news with two other commentators. Files observed to me that once the government commits a lie, it's stuck with it. Which is why, of course, even though we had in the wake of 9/11, for example, a report of a half a dozen or more of the alleged suicide terrorists showing up alive and well the following day, making contact with the UK media, the FBI has never revised its list of the 19 alleged perpetrators. And where, even though we know, in fact, now today, that Lee Oswald was actually standing in the doorway of the book depository when the motorcade passed by, which, of course, established conclusively that he not only cannot have been the lone demented gunman, but he cannot have been one of the shooters, where I and Ole Domegaard have now identified eight, James Files not included among them, where Files is an absolutely fascinating guy, and I'm open-minded to hearing more from him, but where his observation about once a government stakes out a lie, if stuck with it, seems to apply to both JFK, 9/11, and other cases where we have massive evidence. Where I explained that during the course of a review of arguments being made against Marjorie Taylor Greene, when the Democrats were trying to expel her as a member of the House of Representatives, a completely outrageous act, after having already removed her from her committee assignments, which is the majority party they could do, that I reviewed the arguments made against Marjorie Taylor Greene and discovered that in every single case, Marjorie Taylor Greene was either clearly right or the weight of the evidence was on her side, so that really the Democrats didn't have a case against her. But of course, that's something they would never admit. And where reflecting on why they were going after her, it struck me like a silver bullet. Conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes. That's why they want to suppress us. So look at the genius of the situation. You've got the government and the mainstream media using this notion of conspiracy theorists to pick and choose who's supposed to be taken seriously as commentators about events where the government itself is complicit, just as the government was complicit in the assassination of JFK. The Secret Service set him up. The CIA was involved in the killing. Frank Sturgis appears to have been their hitman. The military had another, an Air Force expert who was inside the Triple Underpass, fired the shot that hit Jack in the throat. We had an anti-Castro Cuban in the Dow Techs firing three shots, the only unsilenced, with a Mannlicher Carcano, two of which missed, the weapon being so highly inaccurate. The third, however, hitting Jack in the back of the head, causing him to slump forward after the driver, William Greer, had pulled the limousine to the left and do a halt to make sure JFK would be killed. And where we had a Dallas deputy sheriff firing from the top of the county records building, using a .30-06 to implant a Mannlicher Carcano bullet in Jack's back. It was a shallow shot because it was using a plastic collar called a sabot to implant the bullet, which actually passed through the upholstery and then hit Jack's back brace, which left him a sitting duck. His back brace had been cinched up very tight that morning, something he always wore because of injuries he sustained during World War II, saving a fellow shipmate after PT-107 went down. I mean, it's a great story that every child in America learned at the time when he became president. And he slumped forward, but Jackie eased him back up, was looking him right in the face when he was hit by those shots in the head, and then slumped to the left as Jackie climbed out the back of the trunk after a chunk of Jack's skull and brains that was sitting there, which he held in her hand all the way to Parkland. And after they had pried his moribund body out of her arms and taken him into trauma room number one, she collected herself and entered trauma room one, turned to the anesthesiologist, Pepper Jenkins, extended her hand and asked, "Will this help?" The most poignant moment in the history of the assassination. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. Jackie knew a great deal about literature, the arts, plays, culture generally, but she knew nothing about brain surgery, neurology, bullet trajectories, and wounds. In any case, I'm just delighted that Oon's review has published his piece. because it's a very prestigious journal, respected internationally. So you can access by going to my blog at jamesfetzer.org. And in the case of my blogs, the name of the author, if you click on the name of the author, you get access immediately to the original source at Oon's Review, or you can go directly to Oon's Review, Jim Fetzer, thinking about conspiracy, what's wrong with conspiracy theories. And as I said, well, I was at one point pitching it to philosophers. I discovered philosophers weren't interested in taking the idea seriously. I'm afraid, like other faculty, they fear embarrassment more than anything else. Embarrassed by a student asking a question they can't answer. Embarrassed by being associated with colleagues whose behavior is being challenged by the public. In other words, most faculty are very timid souls, which may be why, at least in part, I was so intimidating that, for example, the University of Kentucky denied me tenure, even though I'd received the first Distinguished Teaching Award presented by the student government to one of 133 assistant professors in the hope that it would assist me securing tenure, that I'd publish more articles in better journals than any candidate they'd ever had for associate, and that I'd given talks, 12 talks in 8 different departments, which I'm certain is a record never equaled before or since at the University of Kentucky because my background is so interdisciplinary in the history and the philosophy of science, and that I've, you know, been drawn into so many different fields in the course of my research. We know, however, that at the Capitol, just to return to the latest false flag, where it has become my mission post-retirement in 2006, to devote myself to bringing together experts on these various cases like Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, Orlando, Charlottesville, Parkland, Las Vegas, to sort out what really happened. We know the person who's in charge of the Capitol Police is Nancy Pelosi. So I think at this point in time, we have further confirmation coming from a highly unexpected source, the New York Times, that Nancy Pelosi arranged for the stunt, whereas I previously reported. These events began at 12:45. Donald Trump didn't cease speaking at the Ellipse until 1:11. The Ellipse is 1.5 miles away. Trump supporters weren't even there at the time all this was taking place. We also know CNN paid the Antifa agitator John Sullivan $35,000 allegedly for taping and recording, where John Sullivan was there, of course, because as his brother James has explained, John led 226 Antifa members into the Capitol. All this now is coming out months and months too late, where they were able to initiate the completely phony impeachment effort. And where I tell you, Nancy Pelosi is the lowest form of scum on the face of Earth. Meanwhile, likewise unsurprising, the Biden Department of Justice has closed the investigation of the shooting involving Ashley Babbitt with no charges filed. That's because it was a staged event. Remember, Barack Obama legalized false flag attacks within the United States by his nullification of the Smith-Mundt Act of 1948, which precluded the use of the same techniques of propaganda and disinformation within the United States that were being used without by his Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012, just in time for Sandy Hook. And as everyone here, I imagine, is well aware, I brought together the 13 experts, including 6 PhDs, some of whom had done massive work on Sandy Hook before I edited the book, including Dr. Eowyn, who had already published 80 articles on Sandy Hook. I myself had already published 30. And where, you know, we established through our collaborative research that the school had been closed by 2008, that it was loaded with asbestos and other biohazard, damaged by a hurricane, turned out also by a flood. There were no students there. It was a two-day FEMA drill, technically a mass casualty exercise involving children, for which we even found the manual, which I included in Appendix A. But of course, Amazon couldn't tolerate having even one book to dispute the version reported in 19 others it had at the time, all of which were consistent with the official narrative, where mine went on sale on the 22 October 2015. Nobody died at Sandy Hook. It was a FEMA drill presented as mass murder to promote gun control and sold nearly 500 copies in less than a month. It was destined to be a bestseller. So, of course, they had to cut it off. They banned the book on the 19th of November, at which point I released it for free as a PDF, where a friend of mine who follows these things tells me it's been downloaded more than 10 million times. Well, of course, the Justice Department, the Biden Justice Department, has closed the investigation into the homicide death of Ashley Babbitt because it didn't happen. We have video. There's a 21-minute video I put up. You can find it on my BitChute site if you scroll down, of what really happened at the Capitol. You'll see there are managers and directors in the crowd telling them where to go and what to do. You can see the crowd in the hallway where Ashley is breaking through a window. She's nowhere near this security guard, 8 or 10 feet away. So they say here, in dismissing it, the investigation revealed no evidence to establish beyond a reasonable doubt the officer willfully committed a violation of 18 U.S.C. 242. Well, it wasn't their role to establish anything beyond a reasonable doubt. All they were looking at is probable cause. And there obviously were violations. I presume this is the unlawful use of a firearm or a murder statute. Specifically, the investigation revealed no evidence to establish that at the time the officer fired a single shot at Ms. Babbitt, the officer did not reasonably believe it was necessary to do so in self-defense. But as I've explained, she was 8 to 10 feet away. You're not allowed to issue a firearm if you're 8 to 10 feet away. You have to be in fear of grievous bodily harm or the threat of death. That was not the case. So Zolking is fabricated. We now, of course, have the Derek Chauvin trial going to the jury. They're going to make final arguments today, closing arguments. The defense attorney has been doing quite a good job. We have a University of Minnesota law professor thinks he'd be stunned to see Chauvin acquitted because the evidence he thought was pretty overwhelming. But while he's not mentioning it here, the evidence that Chauvin did not kill him is equally overwhelming. The fentanyl, methamphetamines, cannabis in his system, the fact that he said, "I ate too many drugs," that he seemed to have swallowed the evidence that was in his possession where he was sitting with his drug dealer in the car, that he was saying, "I can't breathe," before he was put into the car, while he was in the car, and after he was taken out, where your respiratory system closes down as a consequence of massive drug overdose, as was the instance here. We have the toxicology report confirming it. Chauvin's knee wasn't actually on his neck, but actually in the area of his neck where the judge would not even allow them to say that it was on his neck. But even if it had been on his neck, we have the two major arteries, the carotid artery. If you block one, the other still works. So even having his neck on one side would not have caused him to die. The evidence, it was overwhelming that it was actually a drug death. And since they'd have to convict him only if the evidence was beyond a reasonable doubt in the mind of all of the jurors, where that means no alternative explanation is reasonable, there's no way, in my opinion, they can convict. So in my opinion, there are only two alternatives. They could acquit or there could be a hung jury. Frankly, I think a hung jury is what's going to happen, and that this is actually the best possible outcome. Meanwhile, The trial's conclusion comes amid the resurgence of unrest following the killing just 10 ways of Duante Ride, an unarmed 20-year-old black man, fatally shot by a Brooklyn Center police officer during a traffic stop Sunday afternoon, or so we have been told. But it's embarrassingly bad. There's all kinds of reason to think that was a fake shooting as well, including you have a large black officer with the suspect, doesn't close the door, fumbles putting handcuffs, he gets back in the car, that all looks staged all by itself. The 26-year-old veteran female officer shouts out, taser, 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 but she's holding her handgun instead. It's impossible to confuse them. Your handgun is on your hand and side. If you're right-handed, on your right side, your taser on your left. Left-handed, handgun on the left side, taser on the right. Tasers are usually yellow plastic. They're much lighter weight than a handgun. You hear no sound of a shot when she purportedly shoots him. There's no recoil. We don't have the weapon automatically reloaded. And when she steps back and says, oh, shit, I shot him, the other officers are in dismay. But they would not have been in dismay had, in fact, it been the case that she'd actually shot him, because they would have heard the sound of the shot. Moreover, had this Duante Wright actually been shot at that angle, he would have had massive organ damage. He wouldn't have been driving anywhere. He would have died right on the spot. This is all completely ridiculous. The positive aspect is there was a massive outpouring in force. The rioting was declared to be an unlawful assembly. The police actually executed around 60 or more arrests. And I think that this is an indication that perhaps it's not going to happen all over again. But we do have an absurd situation taking place, to which I shall return when we get back from our break. Well, I have a moment yet to squeeze it in. Senator Cruz is criticizing Maxine Waters for urging violence in Minnesota. This is absolutely fascinating. Maxine is saying we got to stay on the street. We get more confrontational. They should ignore the curfew in place. What Maxine Waters is doing is an incitement to violence. What Maxine Waters is doing is illegal. What Maxine Waters is doing should require her immediate arrest and indictment and prosecution. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? that the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities, and that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Revolution Radio every Wednesday 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
So get this, hours after Maxine Waters comes to the Twin Cities and incites violence, shots were fired at the police and National Guard in northern Minneapolis around 4 a.m. The suspect got away, white or gold Tahoe SUV with BM driver. I think that means black or mixed race driver, fled toward Robbinsdale. Here's a report. North Minneapolis Crime Watch and information. Hours after Maxine Waters came to the Twin Cities and incited riots, violence, shots were fired at police and National Guard in North Minneapolis. After 4 a.m., shots were fired at the National Guard and law enforcement in North Minneapolis near West Broadway and Penn Avenue North from white or gold Tahoe or SUV BM driver. A pursuit ensued, but the vehicle got away. Officers reported to be uninjured, but EMS was started as a precaution. Shrapnel was located at the scene. Car 21, crime scene investigator, was dispatched to the scene. So we even have Minnesota National Guard at the Labor Center, allegedly to protect the surrounding communities from the riot violence, and they're being harassed. Although the National Guard was there to protect the protesters, their establishment, and their community from severe damage, they were ridiculed, nonetheless, to the point of having to withdraw from the location. I mean, it's outrageous. And all this gun violence is, of course, part of a massive propaganda campaign based on special pleading, only citing the evidence favorable to your case. They're talking about blacks who are killed by whites, right? We got the story again and again, blacks killed by whites. In fact, we have this additional story of a shooting in Chicago where the 13-year-old Adam Toledo was shot. It appears to have been in an alley at around 2:30 in the morning. What in the world is little 13-year-old Adam Toledo doing in an alley? While the police claimed originally he shot the boy after an armed confrontation, the video appeared to show Toledo without a weapon and his hands in the air at the moment he was fatally shot. Well, The report I have is that the video actually showed him throwing a gun in his hand over the fence. And they edited it to show what happened after he had the gun out of his hand to make it look more dramatic, as though the police had abused their authority. No one, including myself, believes that police are entitled to shoot innocent civilians with impunity. Nobody believes that. And most certainly the police themselves do not believe it. But what do we got going on here? This is the politics of race. The Democrats are making everything a matter of race. The Democrats are trying to reignite a civil war in the United States by exacerbating racial tensions and then threatening to take our guns. Well, I'm telling you, Americans aren't going to give up their guns. It turns out, if you look at statistics of murders for race, the overwhelming majority of murders are blacks killing other blacks. In 2013, for example, we had 55 per million blacks killing blacks. We had less than one per million of blacks killed by whites. Less than one. So there are 55 times more blacks killed by blacks. Blacks are committing crime all over the United States, especially in Democrat-controlled areas. Why? Because they're poor, because they don't have money, because their socioeconomic status works against them, because they're ignorant, because they're not well-educated, because they don't have a trade. This is what they do to make money, but also, the overwhelming propensity for blacks to commit crimes in the United States is far greater than for any other racial group. Nothing comes close. In every category across the country for crime, except for those involving alcohol, where Native American Indians who have a genetic incapacity to process alcohol, you find blacks are out in front as the leaders in every form of serious crime. Here are the crime statistics for New York City. This is the sort of information that Maxine Waters and Hillary Clinton and Lori Lightfoot don't want the American public to know. But in 2014, arrests for violent crime, shooting, 75% black, 22% Latino. That's already 97%. Murder, 62% black, 32% Latino. That's already 94% of the murders. Rape, 46% Latino, 43% black. That's already 89% of the rapes. If New York City were all white, rape would drop by 83%, murder 91%, shooting by 96%. This is all incredibly awful, facing up to the realities about crime. And what also they do not want you to know is that Americans use guns for defensive purposes to defend themselves against criminals millions of times every year, millions of times, saving an estimated 200,000 American lives. 200,000 American lives. Meanwhile, we have the Department of Justice, the Biden administration Department of Justice, going easy on Portland rioters, just as they're going to go easy on Capitol rioters. Why? Because of the politics. The light sentences that are being given to the protesters in Portland clashes leave many wondering if Capitol Hill protesters are going to be treated in the same way with light sentences. Have no doubt about it. Meanwhile, Minneapolis public schools are returning to remote learning because they're fearful of what's going to happen in the wake of the trial, so that Monday and Tuesday, they've just got the students back in the classroom. But Wednesday and the rest of the week, they're going to be out of the classroom because they're fearful and apprehensive. And as a longtime educator, 35 years of higher education, I guarantee you that what's going on here, this distance learning is a catastrophe. There are extremely few students who can benefit from distance learning. So that, you know, the caste catastrophe that reflects the consequences of the COVID and the lockdowns and the riots and all that is going to be far more lasting and enduring than anyone could ever imagine. Where I have a wonderful piece by William DeBerg about the pandemic that wasn't, you can find on my blog, just to recount some of the points he makes. Many have argued since its inception, COVID-19 was not the pandemic governments and medical establishment media have led us to believe. The COVID-19 outbreak on the Diamond Princess cruise ship in early March, still the best controlled COVID-19 data, was a first telling sign. Over 3,000 passengers tested, 720 found COVID virus positive, 13 died. The case fatality rate of 1.8 was higher than for influenza, but lower than for SARS or MERS. Limited medical treatments were available during the ship outbreak. The mean age of passengers in the mid-60s, so the age-adjusted risk of COVID would be, for the general population, would be less than 0.05% or in the normal flu range. Remember, back in October, Genevieve Briand of Johns Hopkins published research showing there were no excess deaths in the United States in 2020, with most COVID death attributions a result of classifying those from other causes, principally heart disease, as COVID. It's easy to argue this or that with projections and assumptions and statistical manipulation, but as the saying goes, one cannot cheat death. One either dies or not. Now, macro trend annual death rate data provides unassailable evidence that there was no COVID-19 pandemic in 2020. The death rate for the entire world remained the same in 2020 as in 2019, 7.6 per thousand or 0.76%. Nor did death rates for individual nations change more than a couple of hundredths of a percent. New Zealand, with only 26 COVID deaths, had its death rate increase from 7.0 to 7.1 per thousand. The U.S., with nearly 350,000 official COVID deaths, also increased a minuscule 0.1 per thousand from 8.8 to 8.9, a value that would result in only 30,000 to 40,000 excess deaths in 2020. But in supposedly hard-hit COVID hotspots like the UK and Italy, they actually saw their death rate decrease by 0.1 per thousand. In a cross-check of a dozen nations around the world, Australia, Brazil, France, Germany, India, Indonesia, Italy, Russia, Sweden, UK, US, New Zealand, none had the death rate change by more than plus or minus 0.01%. between 2019 and 2020. Not surprisingly, the world's population, now almost 8 billion, pressed on with another 80 million humans added last year, the same as 2019. And as I previously reported, there was no effect on life insurance rates. Ben Swan did a brilliant job explaining it. So what's happened here is a conspiracy of government officials, the media, and the medical establishment tied to Big Pharma to push the COVID pandemic fantasy on the public in many nations. Indeed, a leaked document provides proof of such a conspiracy in one large Western nation, Germany. But why? For one, there's been an enormous transfer of wealth worldwide from poor nations and individuals to mega-rich elites in the West since the pandemic charade was promulgated. There's also been a dramatic loss of personal and public freedom in much of the world as well, thereby tightening the grip of the elites. One end goal of all this COVID fear was to vaccinate most of the world's population, whether because of the hidden content and purpose, genetic engineering, or because of vaccination controls, vaccine passports, or, I should add, massive depopulation becomes the question. A funny thing happened, however, in the effort to promote the Great Reset, the number of those willing to get injections leveled off in mid-May, may have peaked in early April. The vaccine supply is more than adequate, so decreasing interest suggests the unvaccinated overwhelmingly below the age of 50 have finally begun to fear the vaccines more than COVID itself. This is unsurprising, since there have been over 10,000 reported deaths and serious injuries due to the vaccine in the U.S. alone. Even the World Health Organization has questioned both the concept of vaccination passports and the long-term efficacy of the vaccines. If a large minority or even a slight majority of the American public, after a year of intimidation and propaganda, including fake stories about mass graves in Central Park and large waiting lines at hospitals and COVID roulette parties, reject the elite's offer of vaccination salvation in favor of non-vaccination damnation, this throws a big monkey wrench into their machinations going forward. Mark my words, it's all very, very serious. And you would do well not to let yourself to be drawn in to taking these vaccines. They are, as I have reported before, not actual vaccines in the traditional sense. They do not introduce a weakened version or form of the SARS-CoV-2 virus. And indeed, it's impossible to introduce or create a vaccine because the SARS-CoV-2 virus has never been isolated. What that means is, what you're getting is only a treatment of the symptoms. You may have noticed that Anthony Tony the Rat Fauci, who predicted in 2017 that the Trump administration would not only have to deal with the seasonal flu and with AIDS, HIV, but with a surprise pandemic, since he knew in 2017, how can it have possibly been a surprise? And when, since he's the official in the administration charged with preparing for pandemics, why were we not prepared? Tells us that we're still capable of transmission and need to continue to wear masks, where he's even recommending double and triple masks, which is about as absurd as it gets. I'm really sad to say, when I go out and see so many Americans whom I would have thought were reasonably intelligent and had a modicum of common sense wearing these masks, it's obvious that they've been played by the mainstream propaganda, because so many are working so hard, often with two different jobs. When they come home and they hear the same story on several different networks, say CNN, NBC, or maybe even in their local newspaper, they tend to assume they're reading it from those sources because it's true, that it would never cross their imagination that it could be played so massively by propaganda. But that's what, in fact, is going on. Indeed, there are three conditions that are required to be satisfied for the legitimate use of vaccinations. They must be safe and effective. Those being vaccinated must be told the risks associated with the vaccination, as well as the benefits and the alternatives available, which today include ivermectin and HCQ. None of this is taking place. It's a violation of the Nuremberg Code that no one may be subjected to an experimental medical procedure, which is the case here, because these have never been approved by the FDA except on an emergency basis. We're now, I have a late report that the Biden Department Administration is going to declare gun violence to be a national health threat, which is absurd. I'm telling you, anyone who thinks Americans are going to give up their guns has their head where the sun does not shine. It also turns out that vitamin D3 is clearly beneficial, so we could reduce the COVID death rate by 80% by giving everyone doses of vitamin D3 if you assume that it's real. I tell you, don't make the mistake. Don't get the injection. The consequences are far more serious. And to me, it's a personal tragedy because five of my dearest relatives have already taken the shot. Meanwhile, Iran's supreme leader has declared that U.S. proposals for resurrecting the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, what we know as the Iran deal, are not worth considering. The U.S. is dragging out the talks. They should not become talks of attrition, said the supreme leader, Khamenei, up from Tehran. They shouldn't be in a way that parties drag on the prolonged talks. This is harmful to the country. Biden claimed to be ending America's longest war by getting our troops out of Afghanistan, by making the new deadline shifting from the 1st of May to 9/11, the 20th observance, claiming we've achieved our objective because bin Laden is dead and al-Qaeda is degraded. It's time to end the forever war, is risking the wrath of the Taliban, who have declared that they're going to create a nightmare for American troops that remain after the 1st of May. And this is just one more reason why the word of America no longer stands for anything in the international community. Trump scuttling the Iran deal was a bad move. I condemned him at the time for it. Iran is a peace-loving, great nation, the most peace-loving of all great nations. Iran, while it defended itself under the massive onslaught attack by Iraq, where both sides lost about 1 million, nevertheless, apart from self-defense, has not launched a war of aggression against any other state since 1775. So what you're hearing about the great risk from Iran is just bullshit. It's Zionist bullshit. Just as you can understand U.S. foreign policy if you just adopt the hypothesis that Bibi Netanyahu is dictating what we do abroad, then it all makes sense. Israel, the Zionists, want a war between Russia and the United States. And if the United States comes to the aid of Ukraine in a situation where it has no legitimate entitlement to do that, it may well be the case that that is the outcome. So, you know, I can't emphasize enough what's going on here, that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are complete frauds, that they were put into office in order to do tremendous damage to the United States, to allow the rich elites to continue to loot the nation, to transfer wealth from small businesses to the global elite. Really, COVID-19 was designed to kill the economy so you could blame the virus and not the bankers who have robbed us of tens of trillions of dollars. David Rothkopf was a managing director of Glissinger Associates back in the 1990s and wrote the book Superclass, in which he explained the world is run by 30 families and their 6,000 minions. The 30 families are the new world order. Lockdowns destroy all competition to the companies owned by the 30 families and their 6,000 minions. Do you not see? Lockdowns are integral to the new world order plan for the Great Reset, which will forever reduce everyone to slavery who's not a member of one of the 30 families. That's indeed what's taking place here. The kings of ancient Sumer and Babylon painlessly ended depression by canceling debt. The Bible writers called it a jubilee. Since the self-appointed elite stole tens of trillions of dollars from the taxpayers, wouldn't it be just that we arrest the guilty, seize their assets, and use them to fund worldwide debt cancellation? We will probably need to declare martial law when our cities are being burned down by rioters, not responding to the verdict in the Derek Chauvin trial, but because of starvation, mass of food, where they're using a multiple-layer attack to depopulate the United States, where the face masks are killing us slowly, the injections more rapidly, and where Bill Gates has been buying up farmland in order to control the access to food to induce a massive starvation. You can see it's going to come. I want everyone to be prepared. You need to adopt the attitude of the preppers. You have to be prepared for the worst. Gun sales have shot through the roof. Even Democrats, liberals who've never owned a gun before, are stocking up, and for good reason. Remember, when they defund the police, we're not going to have any opportunity for them to come to our aid. If we are not armed and cannot defend ourselves, we are at the mercy of the criminals who, when they intrude into our home, even if the police come, they can take as long as 20 minutes to arrive, where the mayhem takes place in the first few. So by the time they show up with guns, because you have none, your daughter may have been raped, your wife murdered, you may have been mugged. Remember, as David Hodges observed years ago, during the 20th century, there were 19 democides during which the whole population of nations was slaughtered by their own governments, each of which was preceded by gun confiscation. We cannot let America become number 20. We'll be right back and taking your calls. The number 540-352-4452. 540-352-4452. Call in. We'll take your calls. Mitchell Fieldham, I'll be here. Any of the above. We're glad you're here. This is The Raw Deal. Jim Fetzer, your host. Call in. Talk to you after the break. Jim.
Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting "This is a drill, this is a drill" on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out "And Nobody Died in Boston Either." Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is your host, Jim Fetzer, and I'm welcoming your calls. I'm looking at some of the comments that are appearing on Oon's Review, which I recommend everyone should check out. It's a wonderful website. The same story I've republished, of course, on my blog at jamesfetzer.org, where I'm explaining what I think everyone needs to understand, that all that's wrong with conspiracy theories is that conspiracy theorists are investigating crimes, and crimes that involve, were committed by, or encouraged by the government itself. So, of course, the government wasn't what is investigating crimes. They're going to lead back to the government itself. Paul, you're here. I see you again. Thanks. Give us your thoughts.
I heard you Saturday night on Revolution Radio. I forget what studio I was listening to, and I'm not sure whose show it was.
John Wayne. Yeah, it was with John Wayne.
Okay, so here's what I was going to say. I wasn't sure if that was a replay of a previous show or
no, it was new. That was live.
Okay. Well, here's what I was going to say. I heard you, and you have racial consciousness. You have racial awareness. I know it, and I am proud of you for demonstrating it, because that's what I heard. So I'm going to make another correction, which I believe I've made before, because during one of your rants on this show, you talked about the fact that a lot of blacks are committing crimes because they don't have money or jobs or the economic opportunity, and, you know, frustrated and so on and so forth. And this is absolutely incorrect. As a matter of fact, I'm sure you're familiar with the work of Colin Flaherty and his book, Don't Make the Black Kids Angry. And he used to have a channel on YouTube and they took him down, but now he's up on BitChute. If you haven't seen at least 10 or 15 of his videos, you're doing a disservice to your full perspective on this topic. I've probably seen over time at least 30 or probably approaching 40 of his videos. including all sorts of other people that have contributed to this topic. So in one of his videos, he spent an hour interviewing a prison psychologist. And one of the jobs of this guy was to interview, you know, these offenders, you know, not only to understand and create a profile, but also to evaluate their, you know, shall we say, potential for release. And so he claimed to have interviewed the better part of 1,000, I think he said 900 and change, of these young male offenders, most of whom were Black and some of whom were Hispanic. And what he told Colin Flaherty was that he never came across one case of any of these criminal violent offenders that committed a crime because they were hungry or they needed money to pay the light bill or anything else. These were all crimes of thrill and opportunity. Okay, they were boredom. And it's also because of the fact that it's a well-known and well-studied thing that these Blacks mature earlier physically. They have much higher levels of testosterone and they have much lower levels of impulse control, as you know, and you've spoken about. And it's worth revisiting the fact, and this is for all these, any pussy whites that are out there listening that feel sorry for these minorities, okay? We have a reality. We have a biological and demographic reality, and it's a ticking time bomb, and it's being ginned up by our Jewish masters. They know exactly what they're doing. The average American Black has an IQ of 85. This has been repeatedly confirmed, which what this means, and Jim, you know this is true, when you overlap the bell curves for whites and Blacks, 90% of Blacks fall below the white average. Just think on that for a minute. The white average is 100. 90% of Blacks fall below the average white guy. Okay. Now, what makes it even worse is they're importing Blacks from Africa and other parts of the third world. And it's also a well-known studied thing. And you can see the data on this and people have given presentations on it. That sub-Saharan means south of the Sahara in Africa. Doesn't matter where you go, east, west, or south, the average Black has an IQ of around 70. 70. So that's, of course, not any fit with a civilized society, and they should not be brought in here because they're just not the same as white people, and they will never be the same. You could separate us for 1,000 years or 10,000 years, they will never be the same. They are anatomically, physiologically different. And if you've never spent enough time or had to deal with low-life ghetto thug niggers, okay, I've had a limited taste of it. Some people have had more. You have no idea what you're talking about. You're not qualified to have an opinion on the subject. In many cases, these are low, subhuman, savage animals. And we need to, for our own good and our own future, dominate them and subjugate them, and in many cases it's for their own good because we can see what a mess they make out of their own communities.
Paul, you're creating quite a variety of problems for me as the host of this show. Number one, you use the N-word, which is unacceptable. That's bad. I'm not going to disagree with your findings about race. I have a whole bloody book that I'm intending to send you on the evolution of intelligence. And I explain in that book racial differences in intelligence. And you're correct that if you take 100 to be the average for America population generally, Blacks average 80, Asian Americans average about 112. The Jewish population averages about 118. So it's very interesting how this cuts in various ways. Now, the point you're making, contrary to what I was talking about, socioeconomic effect, is that this is a genetic difference and not a cultural difference. My book is about the difference between genetic evolution and cultural evolution and how to distinguish between them. And how genetic evolution involved permanent properties that are not variable, that endure over long periods of time, not variable in the phenotype, meaning the body that has the genes, but only vary as a consequence of evolution, which is the reproduction of new members of the population through one of the methods of reproduction, which includes sexual but also genetic reproduction, but where you also have variation due to what's known as genetic drift, where you have a subpopulation of another population isolated geographically, and because it's interbreeding and dealing with different environmental factors, the way in which selection takes place tends to yield a different genetic outcome. This is a reason why I've wanted to get this book into your hands for so very long.
But well, I'll give you my address then.
Well, send it in email. I thought you already had.
No,
and I just...
know. That's what I meant. But Jim, I'll just make the simple point. This is all fine and dandy. It's an academic discussion, and you're certainly qualified to discuss it academically. But all most people need is to see these people in action. All you have to do is watch YouTube to know what these people, these Negroes, are like. Out of respect for you and deference to the preferences of your show, I will make every endeavor to not drop the N-word again, but nobody uses it more than these people, okay? I've been
Within the group, calling one another by the N-word is a term of affection. I understand that.
Paul,
you're going on what the public would clearly perceive to be a racist rant, you know? I mean, I give you a lot of latitude. You're a very smart guy. You know what you're talking about, but sometimes your style of delivery is just too brutal, too raw. I mean, you'd think that would fit on The Raw Deal. I mean, that's the name of this show. I'm not trying to mamby-pamby around. We have certain goals and objectives as a society that are, you know, codified in the Declaration of Independence about equal justice under law. Now, what I find fascinating is that the Democrats are wanting to discriminate on the basis of race in a way that is clearly unconstitutional, contradicting, you know, some of our leading moral figures of the past, such as Martin Luther King Jr. Non-discrimination on the basis of race has been fundamental to American society up until today. And it's even when you seek to be race neutral, it turns out when you look at the statistics for crime, as I've been emphasizing, the overwhelming majority of crimes that occur in the United States are black on black crime. Now, you're offering an explanation in terms of genetics. You're saying it's not merely cultural, but genetic. And that's a very serious issue. You're raising a very serious issue because there's a lot of evidence to suggest that you may well be right. The point you're making about character, about the lack of impulse control, for example, and other aspects of the situation I would have to agree, are on your side of the argument, Paul. Just be a little more relaxed in the way you deliver. You're coming across with so much vehemence that just the way you're saying what you're saying is off-putting. Paul, and you don't interrupt me. You do it too damn often. I don't like it. And I have a hell of a time keeping you in harness just because you're so abusive of the time I give you on the air. You got to get a hold of yourself. Talk about impulse control. Impulse control. Paul, you have no impulse control. You're acting like a lunatic on here. Stop it.
No, I'm not acting like a lunatic. I'm acting like a man.
We need to get racial fast.
Or we're finished. You understand this? If we don't get racial and fast, we are finished.
And I'm telling you, the way you're delivering your message is counterproductive. You sound like a lunatic, even if you aren't really a lunatic. You sound like a lunatic. And look, Paul, I have made many arguments that are very telling and disturbing, especially in light of the arguments you're making here about how we're being infiltrated. There's a massive migration into the United States by these blacks from Central and South America. Even the presidents of Guatemala and Mexico have declared that Joe Biden has created the crisis at the border. The fact is, as in Europe, the black immigrants in Europe reproduce at a more rapid rate than the whites in Europe, so that the demographics of Europe are being changed fundamentally. Similarly, yeah. It's going to happen right here in the U.S. That these migrants, and they're, you know, South and Latin American for the most part, are going to reproduce at a rate that's going to change the demographic. If we wanted that, if that were a desirable outcome among the American people.
But
the American people aren't being given a choice, Paul. The Democrats want it. The Democrats want it.
Everybody has heard you make these academic points. I'm trying to deviate a little bit from the academic, and I'm not out of control. I think a large part of the audience would resonate with me. You present things in a very studied, scholarly, academic way. That's fine. But guess what? Most people are not going down that road. They're going by what they see and what they experience in their daily lives and their observations. Nobody wants that. We didn't ask for this. They're making war upon us. It's a biological war. That's all it is. I could care less about the economic ramifications because all the money is just conceptual. It's phony. We have every ability to take care of each other, and we have the ability to take care of other people too. Right? We can export products and export food anywhere we want to around the world. We've proven that over and over again. What these people are about, our enemies, is wrecking us, wrecking our culture, wrecking the world, and they're making war on the natural world too. And it's time to get real about it. The bottom line is we got a lot of problems, and they are all racial and biological. That's the issue at hand, and we need to get real about it, okay? The fact of the matter is I got to be honest with you. Every time I hear, and you're going to maybe be offended by this, and I don't care, and to all the people in the audience that are offended by this, good. I'm glad. I hope you're offended. Every time I hear about a young black man or a young Hispanic man getting killed in any way, shape, or form, I say, good, victory. Just like Robert Duvall in Apocalypse Now, where he smells the air and he goes, I love the smell of napalm in the morning. It smells like victory. Whether these shootings are real or not, they have to happen sooner or later because these people have it in for us.
Dear God.
If you look at the survey work, if you look at the survey work that has been done, and it's been asking other races how they feel about their own race and how they feel about all the other races, guess what? All the other races don't like us.
Okay, Paul, you've had a chance to shoot your wad. You do it very effectively. We got two other callers standing by here. Let's see. Who do we have first, Mitchell? Okay, Sal from Colorado. Sal, join the conversation.
I just want to say, Jim, I agree with you. Paul may be making poignant points, but white people aren't allowed to throw that word around. And unfortunately, since we have to have more respect for other cultures, even though they don't have any respect for us, and since you didn't teach collegiately for all those years to have this dumb your program down, Paul just has to calm down about that, because we can't use that word. They can say it about each other and everybody else, but we can't. And we don't have to conform to their garbage. We're better than that.
Yeah, you're a pussy. Sorry.
Thanks, Paul. Mitchell, I'd like to invite you in as a further voice, someone who's also a host, your assessment of the situation here. Saul and I have one opinion. Paul has another. Of course, I agree. Freedom of speech is created for obnoxious speech, offensive speech. It's meaningless for popular speech that doesn't bother anybody. You don't need freedom of speech to protect popular speech or non-offensive speech. Mitchell, your thoughts about all of the above?
Oh, gosh. because I believe in the individual person, I really don't try to. I find enough groupthink, whether it's racism, whether it's, you know, dystopian thought or you know, this medical tyranny that we're living in, where everybody's trying to sell you a message. You know, it's up to each individual. And, you know, I understand the perception and the reasons that, Paul has his perceptions, because I've ran across bad black people. I've ran across bad white people. I've ran across idiots of every persuasion, every religion, everything I can think of. And there's a lot of effing idiots out there that give other people a bad impression about some kind of group. And, you know, once we start buying into this groupthink theory of every person or every Democrat or every Trump supporter or everybody or every Jew or every black or every Chinese or everybody, it's all lost. You've lost all concept of the individual responsibility of persons. So,
you know,
yeah.
You know what I mean, like?
I know Paul doesn't agree with that, and hey, that's okay.
No, it's not that I don't agree with it. It's just not the picture we're discussing. In other words, I made a point on another show that I was on Republic Broadcast.
To me, it is because. Yeah.
Well, let me just quickly just jump, and then we can go back and forth. But I have all the responses. This has all been done and worked out by other people, and I don't see how it's even disputable. Anybody can make the not all argument. I am so tired of the not all argument. That's all this is. Oh, not all blacks. Oh, not all Jews. Well, then how the hell are we going to do it? You know, we have to make policy decisions. And right now the policy is to flood us with the third world. Let me make a simple point that nobody can deny.
I understand that.
Right now, millions of people across the world want to make their future here. Tens of millions of Indians, if we let them, tens of millions of Chinese, millions upon millions of Africans want to make their future here in our country if we allow them. We have to be men enough to put a stop to it. Otherwise, just don't bitch about it ever again. And for a guy like Sal, okay, fine, thanks for calling the show, Sal, but I would take, if it was up to me and I was a dictator, I would take a limp-wristed person like Sal and I would drop him in the non-white paradise of his choice. Put him there for 10 years and then see how he likes it. And if he can come back, then fine, we'll go through a screening process. I am so sick. We don't
Paul,
have to pay.
They want us to argue with each other. This is what they want. We're not getting anywhere here, friend.
We owe these other races nothing. We owe them nothing. We don't have to respect them. I don't
agreed.
Use that N-word all the time in my conversation, but I've been referred to as that by other people. I don't. God, this gets me so frustrated. Sorry. Go on.
Paul, what is obviously racist about your position is you're generalizing in terms of race,
yes.
Not allowing exceptions. We got, even when you talk about the bell curve, there are exceptional members of every race. Everyone is entitled to be judged on the basis of their individual behavior. Paul, you're a racist through and through. You make no bones about it. I am not. I agree there are racial differences that are very clear, which I've even published, which you have not. I mean, you've made your points on the air again and again and again, no doubt. Mine are made in print, but also then in on the air as well. And we have overlapping findings here. Where I'm talking about averages, and you're treating the averages as though they were true of every single member of the race.
No,
which
I'm
is...
not. That's the unsophisticated view that you seem to take. Like, I don't recognize individual differences. It's just an absurd position on your part, on any buddy's part, to make that. We have to make, as a society, decisions, okay? Who and how many? That's it. It's simple. So who do we want to come here? I'll tell you what, you can call me any name you want. I don't care. It's pathetic. No white man should call another white man a racist. It's ridiculous, and I take insult by it. I want more Germans, Swedes, Norwegians, English, French, Italians. That's who I want. I don't want any more Asians, who I refer to as gooks all the time, because I'm sick of them. Why don't I dump about 10 million gooks in the state of Wisconsin, and you tell me how you like it, Jim? I don't want any more blacks from Africa. I don't want any more beaners from Mexico. There, I hope your audience in the comment section weighs in on this, because I can't wait to read it. All you pansies and pussies that aren't racist make me sick. Not present company excluded. Thanks for hearing me.
You make the case. Nobody has any doubt where you stand, Paul. That's something I do like about you, your candor. But I certainly don't thereby endorse all of your positions. I agree with a lot of the facts you've cited about racial differences that are averages and all that. But I think that it calls for, from the point of view of ethics, morality, and public policy, a slightly more discerning approach, the more discriminating. I agree 100%, however, that the Democrats, Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and the lot are out to destroy America by a massive influx of South and Central Americans coming in. They deliberately want to displace the white community. Tucker was assailed for talking about replacement theory, but that's exactly what they are implementing. They are implementing a policy of replacement of the American population by a massive influx from South and Central America so that they will gain political control. They don't give a damn about American taxpayers, Americans who lived here, who have devoted their life to improving the country. They're out to destroy it, turn it inside out in the shortest period possible. We have another caller joining unknown person. Go ahead, join unknown person. Go ahead, join the conversation. Mitchell, have we got a name for unknown person?
No, we don't, Jim. I'm not sure who it is.
Well, I'm willing to have him come on and just give us a name, give us a handle. Come on, join the conversation. Don't be shy.
They left.
We're all waiting. We're all waiting for your text.
They left. The unknown caller put a bag over his head.
Paul.
Paul, I really don't need to hear more from you right now. Let's go to Saul. Saul, maybe you have something to say more constructive than Paul.
Well, calling each other Frank. Names isn't going to help anything, even Saul, if you're right about all this stuff, man.
Saul, we'll bring you back after the break. We're on the break. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job, that Osama had nothing to do with it, that the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, that Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
Now I don't know where he is, question mark.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, this is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, who we're having a very spirited discussion. Paul has been very emphatic about his position. And where I'd invited Saul to comment, we have John Wayne standing by. So I'm going to give Saul a sec here to say further words of his own and then bring in John Wayne. Go ahead, Saul.
Thank you. I just want to say that, Paul, even if I agree with you, and I agree with you on everything you got to say, we have to stand up and we don't have to use the words that they say we shouldn't use. Why fight about this? I don't even want to fight with you. I don't want to call you names. It's not going to get us anywhere. People who agree about things are only going to come together if they don't call each other names. We can't do better for ourselves or society or respect Jim's show a little bit more if we don't do that. And that's all I got to say, and I'll John Wayne.
I appreciate it. Yeah, John Wayne, join the conversation. I enjoyed being on with you on Saturday. Go ahead.
Yeah, we did a very good broadcast, Jim. You know, and the last gentleman who was just speaking, yeah, you're right. The thing is, look, they use these forms of terminology to literally conquer and divide people. You know, it's Cloward and Piven. And the more we allow them to do this, the more people will remain divided. Hey, look, brother, I'm with you on the thing about the border and people being allowed to flood in here. I called this out about 7.5 years ago when I started doing my broadcasting, saying, hey, man, what's going on in Europe? That's going to happen here in the States. And it's happening, you know, and it's to a degree where it's not only, you know, like, let's say the illegals and foreign nationals from Pakistan, from Somalia, from Nigeria and every other walk of life that comes across down there. But the smuggling of children is something that is absolutely off the rails. And these people deal in currency and, you know, children and even body parts of people, you know, organ harvesting. See, look, we need to find a common ground. If we all can't find a common ground, we're all going to remain to be divided and pitted against each other. And we cannot allow that to happen, because if we allow that to happen, this country will fall into the graveyard of empires.
I think you're right on all those points, John Wayne. And I think part of my concern about Paul is that he ought to be directing his attack at the Biden administration, which is abdicating its responsibility to the American people. Why laugh? Why laugh? I mean, just because
Because, Jim, as you know, Biden is just, he's a symbol. He's not even Biden, right? I mean, you've gone over this so many times. I don't know. I know it's just a way of referring to what's occurring, but to even say the Biden administration just seems like an absurdity to me at this point. And John Wayne, yes, I agree, except for the fact that it's already happened. You said if we allow that to happen, it's already happened. We're already divided. Yes, I have black friends I'm on friendly terms with. They mostly know exactly how I feel. They laugh about it. Not too long ago, and a few weeks ago, I was in a room, me, one white guy, with five or six other black guys at my friend's house were watching a sporting event. And my friend who knows me well decided to gin up a little fun. And he starts bringing up this stuff about, you know, blacks and cops and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And here's the thing. They all to a man think that they've been pulled over only because they're black. Okay. Which is just an absurdity. Cops don't go looking to pull people over because you're black. But these people have a persecution complex put in their heads by our enemy, okay? And they automatically assume that this is the way the world is. And I said no, and I tried to describe to them my various encounters with police over the decades and how I have been able to turn it around just by my attitude. When I get pulled over or I interact with a cop, I am friendly. I am friendly and for the most part cooperative because they're human beings, and I realize that they're human beings and they have feelings, and so therefore everything goes smooth. A friend of mine who's black, a guy that I've helped before with some of his traffic cases, and I've taught him a lot on the law, he thinks that I have some kind of special file or special flag because I got pulled over the other day. I got expired tabs 3 years now. I got 2018 stickers on my license plate. I got no insurance, and these cops just let me go without even a ticket, right? And I have actually beat a few cases before, and one of the cases I had way a long time in the past disappeared because I made some arguments on there that I'm sure they didn't want on the record. But the bottom line is the reason these cops let me go is because I was cool to them and they were cool to me. Now,
could it have been because
I'm an older white guy? Perhaps. Okay.
Well, I mean, perhaps. Yes. You know, see, the thing is the way I look at it too is, you know, it all feeds into the division that they're putting out, right? See, if they can continue to manipulate the masses of with the media and show them one story instead of the other story. You know, there's a site on YouTube or a YouTube channel called Police Activity, and I would implore people to go there. And the shootings, it's not just black folks. It's white folks. It's Hispanic folks. It's Chinese. It's every walk of life that is involved in this. But the way they use it to manipulate the masses by only covering one story and not even a quarter of the rest of them is where they've got everything right now.
Right. And that's a separate, those are all separate issues. But we're confronted with, you know, the classic, to use a term, existential challenge. Okay. And it's a challenge that's going to determine our future. I watched a great video the other day where somebody took, geographically, they took the United States, Europe, China, and most of Russia, and by manipulating the shapes, they were able to squeeze them all into the continent of Africa. A lot of people don't even think about this. Europe wouldn't even be a large country in Africa. If you take the United States and China, the entirety of their geographic area fits easily into the continent of Africa. Okay.
Right.
And so these Africans don't need to come and live with us. Okay.
No,
I would stop it immediately and send them all back, every single one.
I would too. You know, and I mean, the ones that are here absolutely and totally full on illegally, the Nigerian Boko Haram, the Al Shabaabs, the other terrorist cells, hell yes, send them back. One way ticket. You know, but the thing is, look, they are completely, like you said a word, and it's diverse or demographics. And what they're doing in Africa right now with the UN in the Sahel area, I mean, they're completely displacing all kinds of folks to, you know, literally make them move. And, you know, unfortunately, right to the point of it, they're literally flying them into our country. Hell, to the hell, the border, they'll just fly them in, and they have been. I'll give it back to Jim.
At great expense to themselves, by the way. So why would they do that? That's the thing. In other words, it's not economic. They're not bringing in cheap labor, and they're not bringing in voters. I totally reject these notions of cheap labor and voters.
They're bringing in voters. These people they bring in here, make no mistake about it whatsoever, and when they're given their papers, they're probably already also given a card told to vote Democratic. You know,
right,
I mean,
but that's not the point, though. The main point is it's a racial war, and I think anybody can really ferret that out if they just sit down and honestly think about it. Just quickly, and I'll be done, and you can go back to all the other thank you, Jim, for all the time. I always respect that about, you know, what you do for me. It's my brother told me years ago when he moved to Germany, this goes back to the early 2000s, that it was well known in German society that the average Muslim household has zero working adults. Okay, so how does that work exactly? And why are they needed? Why are they there? They're being brought in at expense, and these people don't care about money because they control the money. They're doing it not for demographics, which is a kind word. It's racial. It's a racial war upon us. And I, like I said earlier, we have to get real about this, and we have to get real in a hurry, or we're going to get finished. And I personally don't want to be finished, and I side with my own. You can call me all the names you want. I side with my own kind. Thanks for hearing that.
I want to bring in Scaredy Cat. Scaredy, go ahead, join the conversation, please.
Hi, Jim and Mitch and Paul and Sal and John. So, actually, I totally agree with Paul. I'm on Paul's side, Jim.
That's fine.
You might be surprised because I'm an outsider to all the people who call your panel here, the people I just mentioned who are talking here. I'm an outsider in your group because I am Muslim and I'm not what you would call white. So just to the little point about what we say, the N-word, Jim, we shouldn't have to say the N-word. We should be able to say the word. And especially in a discussion about culture, and nothing should be taboo. The point is, though, the trouble for Paul, and I also want to say it, when I'm discussing it properly, we shouldn't have to use euphemisms. The problem is that I think it's Jew culture has turned us, has brought the dangers of snitch culture upon us. So for any tiny little excuse, you know, those are vowels and consonants being slapped on our lips and tongues and simply going into the care. No murder is being done. No harm is being done to anybody. It's simply, you know, air columns moving around, words being used in a discussion. So for that little bit of airwaves, the whole laws and everything have been written in order to murder people. In other words, make them homeless. When you're homeless, jobless, this stalking of powerful people, stalking normal people in the general public. That, you know, leads to death, disaster, maiming, death. Because when you become, lose your job, you become vulnerable to all the harms that are occur in life. You know, you could be killed or robbed when you're sleeping under a bridge, etc., diseases, etc., when you're moneyless, jobless, and you've been hounded, you've been stalked by rich powers. And that's how modern society more and more is being written into it, to use tiny little excuses. To just put 7.5 billion people essentially at in danger and in risk. And so the thing is that Paul is totally correct in his stance, his position and his viewpoint and his expression of it. I'll say because the Jew culture using their 95% kidnapping of media is calling Europe and her descendants, that is the English-speaking people, especially in Canada, United States of America, Australia, and New Zealand, and of course the 40, 50-odd countries in Europe, they are labeling them as domestic terrorists, especially here in America, where they have the most power, Jew culture. And what they've done is taken the label foreign terrorists off of a Muslim culture's head, Muslim, the 2 billion Muslims, and just slapped it on 2.5 billion, you know, white Christians' foreheads. And just because you take, like, if you slap a label on me saying D-O-G, you know, lady dog, doesn't mean I'm going to bark. I'm still going to mew, 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 meow, meow, because I'm a scaredy cat, right? So, I do want to make a totally different point, but just later, if you would give me, the Supreme Court. So I'm going to turn their words against them. Jew culture's word, this phrase, white supremacy, is total fiction. It does not exist. Instead, I'm going to rephrase that, flip it, and say the supreme cause. I'm shouting, so I'll talk. I just realized I'm shouting. The supreme cause of humanity, that is all Hindus, all Muslims, all Christians, all Buddhists, all Sikhs, all Shintos, should join together and fight this mislabeling and libeling of white people and Christians. And instead of white supremacy, let us all join together in the supreme cause of modern humanity, that is humanity at this present moment in time, to fight that.
It's a nice thought, Scaredy. I really do appreciate all those things you said up to that point, but I would just counter with, okay, that's nice, but we don't need them. We don't need anybody else. They only fear us. They only fear whites. That's why they're constantly demonizing white nationalists, white supremacists, homegrown extremists, right? All these new terms they keep coming up with. The bottom line is nobody's going to help us, okay? The blacks are not going to help us. The Mexicans are not going to help us. The Asians are not going to help us. All right, we're on our own, and that's why I take such a strong stance.
We've worn out our welcome around the world, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And I want to make people well aware that if they look no further than South Africa and the apartheid that is taking place down there right now and has been over the past 5 years, folks, that's what they're going to erect for this country.
Yes, exactly correct. Exactly. We need to learn the lessons of history. Look, Jim, you know this. I don't have to say this, but it's true. I'm a nice guy, okay? I am perfectly able to be cordial and civil to everybody I meet, and I have been. And I think it takes a very small intellect to not realize that you can make generalizations, you can make statements, and have sentiments about the generality while still maintaining the ability to deal with people on an individual basis, right? Because that's all we do in our life is deal with people on an individual basis. But if you bring and continue to bring millions upon millions upon millions of these people in here, it is nothing but bad news. I'll make the obvious point on the racial issue, and then I'll let it go for the moment. If we have immigration by Swiss or Danes from Denmark or Norwegians or Germans, I think everybody realizes, hey, that's fine. That's a good thing. But if we have immigration from all the other people that they're trying to shove down our throat, I think everybody knows in their core it's a bad thing. That's nobody likes blacks.
Paul, look, I agree with a lot of your policy positions, but it's classic racism to talk about a group in terms of stereotypes, which you do again and again and again. That's what I don't like. It's not so much the content, the way you deliver, but you're falling into and exemplify a classic racist position in terms of stereotypes. I don't like it. I deplore it. And I don't like the vehemence of your delivery. It reflects the intensity of your concern, but it's very off-putting to an audience. Just to hear you is to not want to hear you.
It may be off-putting to you, but it's not off-putting to a lot of people in the audience. And I believe the comment section will bear that out. And I've just come on now and then to stir up the comment section a little bit, if you don't mind. Thank you, Jim.
You know,
let me just get this in here, guys. John Wayne, I haven't heard you before. Would you tell us where to find you? And before I have you do that, I just want to tell you, Scaredy Cat, you're no outsider. You're here on the raw deal. You understand what's really going on, and you may be Muslim, but you have an understanding of it that is a like-minded understanding for the people that are here. So welcome. Jim always says wonderful things about you in his comments when he posts the shows, and he's right about all that. And thanks.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, I've had the pleasure to talk Scaredy Cat a couple times, and you know, it's, You're very, very extremely well informed, and you're an important part of society to where you have the point of views that you have to give them to the folks to see it for what it really is. And folks, yeah, you can catch me every Saturday, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, The Unequivocal Truth, DEFCON 1. Folks, we're in Defense Condition 1, and by God, we have got to do something about it, and I'm trying to figure that out at the moment. You know, Jim, I wanted to throw it back to you, and I wanted to bring in, you know, the fifth column element to this. You know, the you know, these will be the people that will be used to usurp and overthrow the formal society that we see it as what it is. And I do concur with what you said, Jim. Paul, that's nothing against you, but the words that you use with the, you know, the stereotypical analogy, you know, terms, I guess we could say, that does continue to lead in further in division of people to where, you know, nobody can find that common ground to stand on. But Jim, could you mention, yes, could you talk about the fifth column elements?
Well, the media in this country is a complete and abject failure, John Wayne. I'm not sure you mean specifically what's often called the force of state, but there are many elements, especially in the Democratic Party, and individuals specifically such as George Soros, who are working to undermine and destroy constitutional government within the United States. He has, for example, expended lots of money on local races to elect district attorneys in cities who will not enforce the law, who will exacerbate racial tension, will treat those who deserve to be punished effortlessly and easily, let them off the hook. I think a whole lot of what's going on with the rioting and the arson and the looting, the non-punishment, is because George Soros elected district attorneys are willing to abdicate their responsibility to enforce the law for the sake of a greater agenda, which really involves turning the United States inside out and upside down, which the Democrats are pursuing now almost 100% with great vigor. And the whole business is unbelievably destructive and damaging to America.
Absolutely.
You may elaborate whatever you'd like to add, John, to that.
Yeah, you know, and it makes me think of, I mean, kind of get back to, you know, the division part of it. The one thing that everybody will remain common ground on is our right to bear arms. If they go to move on them, that will bring everybody together and say, hell no, you ain't doing this, except for those, the lefties or whoever you want to call them, the commie fascist socialists that don't give a damn anyways. You know,
I don't believe they're going to be able to take the guns, John Wayne. They shot themselves in the foot when they went for defunding the police. Everyone understands. If you can't defend yourself, you certainly cannot count on the police to come to your defense, which is why there's been a huge surge in gun sales, including by liberals, Democrats who never owned a gun before. They see the handwriting on the wall. Paul, very briefly.
I know. But Jim, okay, so there's so many points that have just taken place here, but just because gun sales increase, right, and just because there might be a unanimity of opinion about, oh, well, when they come to get the guns, you know, then we're all going to be, you know, together on that. You know, hold on, not so fast. I believe that incrementally they have accomplished things that you never in your life would have thought they would have accomplished going back 20, 30, 40 years ago. Just look at what you remember the world was like in the 70s or the 80s or the 60s or however far you want to go back. And then look at what we're facing today. And they did this all incrementally. And we could do several shows on the various types of bills that have come forth and the bills that are being proposed now, not just in Congress, but in our state legislature out here in California. You know, I can go on about many things. So they are succeeding in everything they're doing. And the reason for my vehemence and my attitude and my tone is because it's necessary. John Wayne, you said DEFCON 1. I couldn't agree more. And by the way, you got a great radio voice. I'm sure people have told you that. And it's like, you got to understand where I'm coming from. It's like a little bit of passion because I see what's in front of us. Okay. I know what they've already done. I know what they did in the Ukraine. I know what they did in Russia. I know what they did in Germany, right? I know what they did in China. You don't think they're going to do that here if they get to every opportunity? And this idea that we're buying guns, okay, for what? To wait to when they come to the house? No. We need to start right. thinking about how we're going to use our guns preemptively. That's
you know,
what I say.
And see, and I'm, if I could, Jim, I want to kind of get your take, guys' take, everybody's take on this as well, Scaredy Cat and, you know, Mitch. I mean, everybody is allowed to, you know, answer. You know, with what I'm seeing with the propagandization of the people on the southern border being interned in these camps, is that not acclimation to the general populace to get used to seeing people in said facilities?
Bingo.
Oh, sure, I agree with that. Listen, let me squeeze in Scaredy Cat since we're almost out of time. Scaredy, go ahead. Give us a final thought.
Hey, Jim. So please promote other magazines. So Ron, you have great praise for him, but I feel that you should be other magazines are looking for articles such as the Patriotic Alternative.org, the Native Englishman Mark Collette's magazine, Brother Nathaniel's webpage, realjewnews.com. He's Christian, Russian Orthodox. Culture Wars is the Catholic Christian Dr. E. Michael Jones' magazine. So the point is that the Jew media, 95%, that is Ron Unz's, the Jew Ron Unz's online magazine, and the Jew family's Salzburger's newspaper, the New York Times, we should never ever mention them, because we need to strengthen the smaller magazines. Because if all the time you're promoting, 95% of media is already Jew occupied, and they relentlessly promoted the lethal injections that your own beloved five family members, persons closest to you, took it. So let's mention, even though you get like a quick fame on these other magazines and newspapers, let's not ever mention them. Let them make money and fame from their own culture. There's 499 persons to every Jew. And let's promote some of these, Christian magazines which are struggling.
That's very interesting, Scaredy. I like the Unz review because Kevin Barrett published a piece about my trial called... The legal lynching of a truth seeker, Jim Fetzer, Stalinist show trial, that drew a huge audience, and I liked the fact he published it, and it was very appropriate. So I was reciprocating by here. Thanks to Scaredy, to Sal, to John Wayne, to Paul, everyone for listening. We'll be back on Wednesday. See you then.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio.
Como va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.